Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, would you open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Love seeing the children run off to children's church. Be taught of the Lord. It's so important to have our children in the house. Put them in the programs. Well, there is a man in the Bible, a man mentioned in the Bible that is said to have hazarded his life. To hazarded his life to serve others. A man that hazarded his life for Christ. The man's name is Epaphroditus. Philippians 2, verses 25 to 30. You follow along in your Bibles. I think it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and the servant of my need, because he is longing for you all, and he is very distressed because you heard that he had been ill, so ill that he nearly died. But God had pity on him, and not on him only, but on me too, that I might not have grief upon grief. So then I send him to you with the more dispatch, that when you see him, you may be glad again, and that I may be less grieved. Welcome him in the Lord with all joy, and hold such men in honor, because he came near to death because of the work for Christ, hazarding his life that he might fill up that part of your service to me, which you were personally unable to supply. The Philippians hear that Paul is in prison, awaiting trial on a capital charge. And their hearts are moved, and so they purpose to send Paul a gift. They send this man, Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was not only the bearer of the gift, he was the gift. It was intended that he stay in Rome and that he serve Paul. And he become Paul's personal servant. This is a brave action. Offering himself as a personal servant to one that was on trial for a charge. Awaiting trial on a capital charge. It was great risk. It could be that he ended up facing the same charges. It was a brave act. And Paul uses language to describe this man. Paul uses language to describe this man's action. Paul uses language to describe this man's character. Philippians 2:30 in the New King James Version. Because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me. The ASV reads, because for the work of Christ he came nigh unto death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me. I want to share some words with you. Listen to these words from Barclay. So there is one word here in this passage which later had a famous usage. The Authorized Version speaks of Epaphroditus not regarding his life. We have translated it, hazarding his life. The word. It is the gambler's word. It means to stake everything on a turn of the dice. What Paul is saying is that for the sake of Jesus Christ, Epaphroditus gambled with his life. He recklessly risked his life for the sake of Christ. In the days of the early church, there was an association of men and women called the Parabolani, the gamblers. It was their aim and object to visit the prisoners and the sick, especially those who were ill with dangerous and infectious diseases. In AD 252, plague broke out in Carthage. The heathen threw out the bodies of their dead and fled in terror. Cyprian, the Christian bishop, gathered his congregation together and set them to burying the dead and nursing the sick in that plague-stricken city. And by so doing, they saved the city at the risk of their lives from destruction and desolation. There should be in the Christian an almost reckless courage, which is ready to gamble with its life to serve Christ and to serve man. The church always needs the parabolani, the gamblers of Christ. Now, if it were asked in this room this morning who here is a gambler, most would say they are not. Most would say they never have, and they never will. When we hear the word gambling, our minds instantly head to the slots. Wayward city, a dealer in a diseased opportunity, a deck of cards. But the Bible in Christian history speaks of those that were gamblers. Not those that gambled with money, not with coins, but with their lives. Those that laid it all on the table, those that cast it all on the table for Jesus Christ, holding nothing back, going all in. Philippians chapter 2 tells us of this man that gambled not with money, not with coins, with his life. Epaphroditus, a gambler of Christ. You know, the truth today is that we're all gamblers. Every single one of us. We're all gambling in this life. We are all placing our bets, and this is where we talk about real gambling. You see, more precious than silver and gold, of more value than the currency of all nations combined, every one of us is betting our life, our existence, our soul on one of two options. One, either the gospel is real and therefore I've laid it all on the table for this reality. Or two, the gospel is a tale and I make this my bet. We're all gamblers and we're all placing our bet in this life. Betting that it's real. This relationship with Jesus Christ, that he came and he lived and he died on the cross to reconcile us unto the Father, where we're betting that it's just a tale. And how many today across the planet have made that their bet? That it's just a tale. But if we reject Jesus and we turn out to be wrong, that was a huge gamble we took in life. What are we going to bet in this life? What's our wager? What bet are we placing in this life? Because all of us in this room this morning, every person in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada is a gambler. Maybe we've never sat down at a table in a casino. We've never sat down with playing cards. We've never sat down and bet on the roll of a dice or sat before a slot machine, but the reality is every single one of us is gambling one of two options. C.S. Lewis writes, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." You think about it this morning, that's the reality. It cannot be moderately important in our lives. It cannot be moderately important to our families. It cannot be moderately important. It's amazing to think that men and women that would never dare sit down in front of a slot machine to wager $1 are gambling with their souls. Gambling with eternity, gambling with everlasting life. They would never dare. They're too calculated. They would never walk into a casino and wager even $1. They would never buy a lottery ticket. Thank God we need less of those people in line in front of us. But they would never, ever bet even $1. But here they are, gambling with that which is more precious than all the currency of all the nations combined. Gambling with their souls, betting that they're right and that the Holy Book is wrong, and that every preacher that has ever preached is wrong, that every grandparent that has ever prayed is wrong, that every church that has ever existed is wrong, that every martyr that has ever died and bled for the cause of Christ is wrong. They're making that their bet. You know, when you stop and think about it, it's actually mind-boggling that people just seem to not care. They don't even know the facts. They haven't even checked it out. But they're gambling with that which is more precious than all the currency of all the nations combined. They're gambling with their soul in this lifetime. That's their bet, that it's all fake. It's not real. That it doesn't matter. And I decide how much it matters in my life. We're all gamblers. We've all placed our bet. And if we're here this morning and we've placed the wrong bet, there is still time to change our wager. You see, this is how gracious He is. This is how loving He is. This is how kind He is. This is how long-suffering He is. This is how amazing He is. Listen to 2 Samuel 14:14. It says, "For we will surely die and become like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away a life, but He devises means so that His banished ones are not expelled from Him." The message reads, we all die sometime, water spilled on the ground, can't be gathered up again. But God does not take away life. He works out ways to get the exile back. Thank God that He's worked out a way to get us back. Jesus hazarded His life. He hazarded His life for you. You know, Jesus gambled for you. He threw it all on the table, trusting and betting on good in you, on the potential in you. Somehow, you'd wake up, your eyes would be open, you'd fall on His everlasting arms. It's worth betting your life on. There's no sure wager one can make. I want to encourage us this morning. Go all in. Because if we do, we are guaranteed winners. No matter the hand we're dealt, no matter how it spins, no matter how it rolls, we are guaranteed winners if we're all in for Jesus Christ. Epaphroditus placed his bet. Not only was Jesus real, not only was the gospel true, but he placed his bet with his life. Not just in word, but in deed. Not just in word, but in action. This man knew that there was no greater way to spend his life, and now that I've made it my bet that Jesus Christ is real and the gospel is reality and there's eternity and there's Jesus that died for my soul. And now that I've made my bet concerning my soul, I must ask myself this question. Am I willing to gamble with my life recklessly for Jesus? There should be in the Christian an almost reckless courage which is ready to gamble with its life, to serve Christ and to serve men. The church always needs the parabolani, the gamblers of Christ. You see, Epaphroditus was a man that was all in. I want to ask this morning, am I willing to gamble with my life recklessly for Jesus, hazarding my life for Jesus and for the kingdom's cause? We each must ask ourselves that question. We're all placing our bets. Now, we may be here today and voice our conviction that we bet on Jesus, but can we be challenged by a man that gambled with his life, not merely having staked his life, but having staked it recklessly for Christ? What is my wager? What amount? What's your wager? What's your amount? See, Epaphroditus knew it to be true as it reads in Matthew 16, verse 25, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." I want it to be loud and clear this morning in this place. Christianity, the only thing it cannot be, is moderately important. Relationship with Jesus Christ cannot be moderately important. But we have a day and age that is teaching us, a culture that is teaching us, a diseased church that is teaching us, filled with diseased doctrine. We have people teaching us, organizations teaching us, denominations teaching us that it's okay that Christianity is moderately important in your life. The relationship with Jesus, get this, it's okay that it's moderately important. If it's moderately important, you're all right. Make that your bet. Make that your wager. See, why wouldn't we err on the other side? Where we go all in for Jesus, but there's this thing inside of us we still fight with. It's hard to lay it all on the table. I mean, it's the bravest action ever. I say those that truly follow Jesus Christ and throw it on the table, they're the bravest people that have ever lived. They're the most amazing people that have ever lived. You know, the truth this morning is, we know if we're holding back. Even if we fooled other people, we know if we're holding back. We know if we've changed our wager. We know if we've pulled something off the table. Christianity cannot be moderately important. Relationship with Jesus cannot be moderately important. I asked this morning, are we all in like Epaphroditus? Serving Christ and serving others. You know, this cannot be moderately important. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. See, it all hangs on these. Are we all in? I'm a gambler, and so are you. We each place our bet, and we are responsible for our bet. We can't blame it on anyone else. It's your decision, and it's mine. We each decide on our wager, on the amount bet. your life. You decide. You can lay it all on the table. You can hold back. We all decide. But the truth is, regardless of what we decide, do you know that this was never intended a partial wager? It was never intended that Christianity or relationship with Jesus be moderately important, that we only give in part. It was intended that we go all in. Jesus Christ went all in. And it's intended that we too go all in. It's always been an all-in thing. We heard this scripture last Sunday, Judges 5:18. Zebulun is a people who jeopardized their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. Man, when you really believe in something, you go all in. When you really believe in something, you go all in. Otherwise, how can it be called really believing? We know if we're holding back. Acts 15:25-26, it says, "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." These men, having hazarded their lives, throwing it all on the table, casting it all on the table for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gamblers of Christ. It's amazing. Simply amazing. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord asking us this day, are you gambling with eternity? Are you gambling with your soul? I hear the Spirit of the Lord asking us, are you gambling? So you've created your own form of Christianity, your own standard of discipleship. That's what you're betting on. I hear the Spirit of the Lord asking us this morning, are you gambling with your children? You say it's not important that they're in the house or in the kids' program or at youth, perhaps not in word, but in action. There's other priorities. It'll all work out. Is that what you're betting on? Is that your wager? I know a lot of people that have bet that way. I had a lot of friends growing up. Their parents bet that way. They lost it all. I hear his voice today. Are you gambling? You say it's not important to be water baptized? Are you gambling? You say it's not important to tithe? Are you gambling? You made it your wager. It's not important how we worship. It's not important how we attend church. It's not important if we pray. That's my wager. That's what I'm betting on. It's shocking some of the bets people are making. It's not important to go to church. I mean, that's a new thing. Because back in the old day, it was real important to go to church. And now it's, what is it? It's moderately important. Moderately important. The only thing it cannot be is what I just said. Moderately important. Let's have the worship team return. What else? You place your bet. But if you're wrong, if we're wrong. If we place the wrong bet, we're going to have a king-size headache when we meet Jesus Christ face to face. Are we willing to go all in for Jesus? It's a real simple call today. What bet have you made? And if you've made the wrong bet, today is the day to change it. It's a simple call today. If you've never gone all in, or you've lifted part of yourself or your family off the table, today is the day to lay it back down. To lay it all down. You know, can it even be called a gamble when it's a guaranteed win? Can it even be called a gamble when the payout is sure? You see, I'm all in because I know it's right. And sometimes it takes going all in to know it's right. You sit on the other side and you're like, I want a surefire investment. I want to know that when I lay my life on the table, it's going to work out. I want to know that it's real. Listen, faith. It takes faith. But when we step out in faith and we lay it all on the table, something miraculous takes place. The faith is the surest reality there is. And that's why we can rest assured that it's a guaranteed win, the payout's sure. Place the right bet. There should always be in the Christian an almost reckless courage which is ready to gamble with its life to serve Christ and to serve men. The church always needs the parabolani, the gamblers of Christ. Let's stand this morning. We're just going to lift up this song, and we got a few moments here before the close of the service. Allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do inside of you. Thank you, Jesus.